What can we learn from Old Testament prophet Samuel on how to endure through tumultuous times? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Unfailing, God's Assurance for Times of Change. This book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Unfailing at issuesetc.org. Unfailing, God's Assurance for Times of Change, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he
it's an interesting and in some ways unexpected encounter that Jesus has one night, recorded in John chapter 3. Someone comes to him, not among his disciples or his followers, but among his critics, among those who would eventually, at least as a group, see him condemned to death. Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish council that will, well, in several years, condemn Jesus to death. Nicodemus comes to him at night. He has questions about who Jesus is, and Jesus' answers are somewhat mystifying. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Who was Nicodemus, Tom?
Nicodemus was a man of the Pharisees. That was a religious group within Judaism. And they were also kind of like the Supreme Court of Judaism. Prior to the coming of the Romans, they even had the ability to put someone to death. But under the Romans, they were refused to put anyone to death. And so they would have to go through a Roman official, either Pontius Pilate or Herod, once they decided as a majority in the group to put Jesus to death. Now, Nicodemus was of not that sort. He wanted to talk to Jesus. And so he came to Jesus in the night to talk to him and ask him some questions.
Why did he come at night?
He came at night because the Pharisees, the majority of them, had decided that if anyone would confess that Jesus was more than just a human being, that he was the Christ or the Son of God, then he would be removed from the synagogue. And that would be like a form of excommunication that the church does today. And, well, Nicodemus did not want that to happen. So to hide his favoritism toward Jesus, he went at night. And the Sunday school literature from Concordia Publishing House, Enduring Faith, talks about having the classroom darkened, hiding a Bible, and giving flashlights to the children to find the Bible and give them an example of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night to find out who he truly was.
Nicodemus believed that Jesus was sent by God. What did that mean?
He believed it because of the miracles that Jesus was able to do. In fact, he says, "These signs you cannot do unless God is with you. And therefore, you are a teacher come from God." He doesn't yet believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, or even the Son of God, maybe a prophet. But the last prophet of the Old Testament was John the Baptizer, who had said that Jesus was the Lamb of God that had come to take away the sins of the world.
Jesus' answer to Nicodemus was about being born again. What was Jesus talking about?
Well, he says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, when Nicodemus heard that, he just jumped to the conclusion that he would have to get back in his mother's womb. And he could not understand how that could occur. He even asked Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? But Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That would be a normal birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Being born of the Spirit occurred for many people on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and they received not only the gift of the Holy Spirit, but also the gift of the forgiveness of sins and received faith to believe what both the Spirit was saying to them and what Jesus was saying to them.
What does Jesus teach us about the Holy Spirit in this encounter with Nicodemus?
Jesus teaches us that do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. He talks about the wind, which is another translation for the Spirit. He blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, Enduring Faith, the Sunday school lesson, does a good job in pointing out that children do not remember the day that they were born. They don't remember anything about that day, and yet they were born and came to life. So also, on the day of their baptism, if they are an infant, they may not remember coming to life, but they did, because that is the power of the Holy Spirit, who comes where you may be unaware of, and who gives you gifts that have been promised to you from the Old Testament, that you would be born again, which means you would have faith to believe the promises of God as found in His holy word. And so the Sunday school teacher should really impress on the students that in their baptism, that is when they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and is saved by Him and receives faith. Even though they may not be aware of it, it still is true. And that is a promise from God that is fulfilled on the day of their baptism.
So, speaking of baptism, how did Jesus connect the Holy Spirit with baptism?
He connects the Holy Spirit with baptism by water and the Word. We know a number of times that people are saved through water. Remember, in the Old Testament, the Israelites are escaping from Egypt. They get stopped by the Red Sea. So what does God do? He opens up the Red Sea, and they are able to cross on dry ground. When the Egyptians attempt to follow them, the dry ground is filled again with waves from the water and destroys the Egyptian forces. So the people of Israel are saved by the water. And of course, they are the Egyptians destroyed by the water. God later uses water in the ministry of John the Baptizer, where he has a baptism of repentance. And that repentance is when people are washed in the waters of the Jordan, as was Jesus. Now, John the Baptizer argues with Jesus, "You don't need to be baptized by me. I need to be baptized by you." But Jesus says it is necessary for him to be baptized with water, the baptism of repentance, to take upon himself the sins of the world, so that when he died on the cross, he paid for their sins. This is the good news of the baptism of repentance, and leads to the sacrament of the baptism that comes with water and the Spirit at Pentecost, which is 40 days after Jesus is risen from the dead and keeps his promise to baptize people and bring them into the kingdom of God, preparing them for the day of judgment, when they will be totally in the kingdom of God, both in their spirit and in their body. So truly Jesus says to you, we speak of what we know. We bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, Nicodemus, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And Jesus is referred to in the Old Testament as the Son of Man. And he likes that title when he is incarnate here on earth as a human being to become the Savior of the world by dying on the cross and then bringing that redemption to human beings by the holy sacrament of baptism. Water, the Word, the Holy Spirit, faith, and the forgiveness of sins.
Can the Sunday school children then be taught that they are also born again?
They also can be taught that in baptism, that is when they are born again. And so if you have a pupil in your class who has not been baptized, then talk to him not only about the importance of baptism, but also speak to his parents, and if possible, bring the pastor into the conversation to help them understand that that is how salvation occurs in the Christian faith, by being baptized, by receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, either through hearing the word or by receiving the waters of baptism. And in that holy gift called a sacrament, they receive faith, believe the promises of God, and come into the kingdom of God and will be there forever. Even after their death on earth, they will receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins, the righteousness of God, and even their bodies will be rejoined with their spirit after the day of judgment to live with the Holy Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever and ever in heaven. That's the path of salvation.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. When we come back, we'll take up Jesus' words, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move on into Galatians with Introduction to Galatians, No Other Gospel, Paul's Call, Paul's first visit to Jerusalem, and Paul's second visit to Jerusalem. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
The way we as Christians view history is going to be different from how non-Christians view history. As a Christian, you already know what history is about, Jesus coming to save you. So wrote Molly Lackey in her inaugural article for Our Great Heritage, a new series at the Lutheran Witness online website on the history of the Lutheran Church and great historical figures in our history. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
In a city known for the latest in songwriting and the performance of music, we offer the sweet sound of the timeless gospel and the historic liturgy in worship. Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nashville, Tennessee is a place where God's people receive the gifts of Christ and sing praises with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. If you are vacationing in Music City or are moving to the area, please join us for divine service at 10:30. Find out more at RedeemerNashville.org.
Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Those serving in the armed forces want LCMS chaplains. We need courageous pastors to bring the gospel and sacraments to those protecting our nation, along with wise counsel and the peace found only in Christ Jesus. If you are between the age of 26 and 43 and have a heart for ministry in the armed forces, call 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155. Through it all, we can trust God and His plan. Scripture declares, "Know therefore that the Lord is your God, a faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." Covered by the blood of Christ, you are incorporated into His covenant people through the highest mountains and the lowest valleys of life. His steadfast love endures for you. From the book Unfailing, God's Assurance for Times of Change, the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, for March. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Unfailing God's Assurance for Times of Change. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Tom, Jesus says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. What does that mean?
What he means is that he told them about the things of the world and how things happened. And people believe, even though they don't remember the day of their birth, they remember that that is what happened because they are told that. Similarly, when Jesus tells them about the day of their rebirth, then they believe that because they are being told by God's word, by their parents, and by the evidence of their baptismal certificate. In fact, in our Sunday school, we not only gave a gift to the children on the day of their birthday, but also on the remembrance of their rebirth day. That was the day of their baptism. They also received a gift in the Sunday school to remind them that they were born again and brought into the kingdom of God by a miracle of Jesus speaking through the pastor, with the water being anointed upon their bodies, and they became members of the Holy Christian Church.
How did Jesus compare the Holy Spirit to the wind?
He compared it because a lot of times we hear the wind, we may feel the wind, but we do not see the wind. So also at baptism, that's the same thing that happened. We may not have felt anything. We may be unaware of the happenings of that day of our baptism, but the Holy Spirit, like the wind, is invisible, and he is able to do his work just as the wind does. And in fact, the word for spirit can also be translated as the wind. Remember, at the creation of the world, the Holy Spirit was there with God the Father, and he rested over the waters of the earth. And in that way, he became a creator also of the world, along with Jesus and God the Father. So also, he creates new life and new birth by the power of water and the word.
How did Jesus compare himself to the serpent being lifted up in the wilderness in the book of Numbers?
In the book of Numbers, Moses was told to raise a bronze serpent, to create one, put it on a pole, and that all people who had been bitten by the terrible serpents that led to death, if they saw the bronze serpent lifted up, they would be healed. Jesus was the one who was lifted up from the earth onto the cross, and all who looked to him and trusted in his word when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They received the gift of the forgiveness of sins and were healed of what put them to a possible death, and that was their sin. Their sin was forgiven, which means they were no longer held accountable for their sin. And because they are not held accountable, their sin had no impact on them, and they were not hurt or sent to hell. But Jesus took upon himself the punishment of their sin so that they were saved and heaven became their home forever and ever.
Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." How does this familiar verse fit into the context of Jesus' other words with Nicodemus?
Because when it says, for God so loved, you know that we're talking there about God the Father, because it says right after that, he sent his only begotten Son. So there we have the Father and the Son. And that's what Jesus is saying, is that when Jesus went to the cross, that was a mission that he had been given from before the foundation of the world, when the Holy Trinity had agreed to save the world by Jesus dying on the cross. And all those who believed and had faith in the promises of God the Father would therefore receive salvation. That's the way of the Christian faith that saves you. Not by your works. Nobody is saved by the law or obedience to it. We're instead saved by trusting the promises. That's what faith means. And by trusting those promises, people come to faith. And that is done on the basis of what Jesus, the Son of Man, said to the people, that whoever believes in me will have eternal life. That's the message of the Christian church.
Where do the Sunday school children see Jesus lifted up today?
Today they see him when they enter into a worship service. And as they look in the church, they see the cross. And oftentimes, the service will begin with a procession, with the cross being taken ahead of the members of the choir going into the sanctuary. This is Jesus being lifted up towards them. And of course, in time, they will receive the very body and blood of Jesus in the sacrament of the holy altar, which is receiving his body and blood under the forms of bread and wine. That's called Holy Communion, the sacrament of the altar, and is a foretaste of what they will be experiencing eternally when they go to heaven in both the body and the spirit.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law shows us that by nature, when we are born, we are sinful and we are unclean. We need to be cleansed, and we are cleansed by the waters of baptism as we are reborn of water, receive the Holy Spirit, who creates faith in us to believe the promises and the Word of God as found in Holy Scripture from Genesis through Revelation. We trust that word. We receive comfort, and we receive the confidence of the faith that we are saved and heaven will be our eternal home.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts the radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. For more information on Law and Gospel, visit the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 19th, we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning according to the three lectionary, Palm Sunday and Sunday of the Passion. Pastor Sean Denzer will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Neanderthal chemists? This is Ken Ham, CEO of Answers in Genesis, Ark Encounter, and Creation Museum. Yesterday, we talked about how Neanderthals are usually depicted as dumb brutes. But the evidence reveals they wore makeup and jewelry, made weapons and musical instruments, and even practiced dental hygiene. Well, a new study found that Neanderthals also made their own glue and used a knowledge of chemistry to do it. The glue was so complex it had to have been created in underground chambers with little oxygen. Now, you've probably never pictured Neanderthal chemists. But that's because the evolutionary worldview has indoctrinated everyone to see them as brutes. But they were our relatives, made in God's image, like we are.
There's so much more to discover when you visit our website at AnswersRadio.com and view a full transcript of this program at AnswersRadio.com.